shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
But a little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
It's Monday, the 26th of July, and after a huge weekend of action in Round 9, it's time for another edition of Triple M Footy's news update with Tom Brown. My name's Rudy, and I've got Tom here, back from Queensland, and Tommy, David Teague is top of the agenda this morning.
Top of the agenda this morning, Rudy, in coaching terms, and I like David Teague, so I don't say this lightly, in coaching terms, he's a dead coach walking now. I think it's a matter of time before Carlton and their review decide they'll go in a different direction. There's a number of reasons I've formed that view, Rudy. Luke Sayers, the incoming president, has got 3 years remaining on his term, and I think he'll be keen to get in an experienced coach, particularly given their emerging and experienced list. I think they've got a better list than they've been playing, and he'll be keen for success during that three-year period of his presidency. I think this notion that there aren't good coaches out there available is an old notion. I think there's lots of good coaches available, including guys like Brad Scott, although I'll talk to about him later. It looks like he'll go to the AFL or Collingwood. Even Michael Voss, Don Pike, Adam Kingsley, Adam Uze. There's a lot of good coaches, I believe, that are around. Ross Lyon, who obviously joins us on Sundays on Triple M. And I think there's a view from a technical perspective, and this is out of my reach, that even from a defensive perspective and the way Carlton are structured up, I think Tim Watson commented on this morning, there's now a view that Carlton aren't playing as well as they should. And I think that was exemplified, or there was an example of the weekend, Nick Larkey kicking 7 goals. So there's already a question mark surrounding David Teague's game plan and the defensive intent on that. You know, for a guy like Nick, who's obviously a good player, but to go and kick 7 goals, that's going to ruffle a few feathers amongst the review team, in my view. So it's an educated position based on, you know, calls I make and all the rest of it. But I think David Teague's coaching reign at Carlton will end. He might last out the season. They won't make a decision before the end of this review or the conclusion of this review. I do believe they're reaching the final stages of that review. They were doing second round interviews last week. And I think Carlton in the next 3 to 6 weeks will be on the search for a new coach.
Right, big news off the top there. Then it was a tough weekend for them. They shipped 7 goals in that
seven goals to none in the third quarter.
Very
and there was some damning vision presented on the Sunday Footy Show yesterday of some defensive efforts and space that North Melbourne were afforded in that. Again, that's out of my area of expertise, but I watched it with interest. I think the question for Carlton now is how they'll communicate these changes. Make no mistake that Luke Sayers is in charge of the football side of the club now. That's the incoming president. Mark Lagudishay has got a tremendous legacy in terms of the redevelopment of Carlton, their women's programs. They're doing well in terms of their finances. They've also amended the constitution to get better voting rights for AFLW members and those types of things. So Mark's legacy is great, but from a footy perspective, I don't think he'll oversee the sacking of a fourth or fifth coach under his reign on the board. I think Luke Sayers will have to front that.
Okay.
I also think there's pressure on Andrew Russell, their fitness boss, who, according to industry sources, is possibly paid more than David Teague, $500,000-$700,000 a year.
Right. So plenty to watch and wait and see on that one. All right, let's move off Carlton. Tommy, to Buddy Franklin, you think he'll miss a week for an elbow on Luke Ryan?
Yeah, I think his elbow will be deemed at least medium, careless and high, and that it will attract a week for Buddy, which means he'll miss their clash, the Swans clash, against the Bombers.
And from yesterday's game at the MCG, Geelong versus Richmond, Joel Selwood subbed out midway through the third term for Quinton Narkle. Ice on his upper leg. Have you got any update on that injury?
Yeah, I went to the Cats rooms for a cross post-game. The impression I got was that it was either a quad injury or an ITB injury. ITB is the connective tissue that rubs around the thigh bone. A quad would be around or up to 4 weeks plus. An ITB, you can sometimes play the subsequent week, particularly if it's jabbed up. So that's obviously going to be subject to diagnosis and scans this morning. A blow for the Cats. Asaba Radaglia kicked 4 goals alongside Tom Hawkins yesterday to probably propel Geelong into premiership favouritism, depending on which way, of course, you view the Bulldogs, who are going beautifully as well. From a Richmond point of view, it looks like they're not going to make the finals, almost certainly. And Dustin Martin is out of hospital on the Gold Coast, where he'll spend an extra few days, I think, just getting over what's been a pretty traumatic kidney injury.
Yeah, that's really good news for Dustin Martin. Really good to hear that he's up and about. Now, Tommy, you've got an interesting one on Alistair Clarkson.
Yeah, I picked this up over the weekend. I think there is a view among some senior coaches, at least one prominent one, that Alistair Clarkson has been very harshly dealt with by Jeff Kennett. And it's raised eyebrows, I think, at a senior coaching level. It's not to say that Jeff Kennett doesn't have a right to get rid of Alistair Clarkson. Of course he does. But it's definitely raised eyebrows amongst some senior coaches, one senior one in particular, because I don't think they like how Clarkson's been treated. He's effectively been sacked. It came out in the Sam Mitchell interview last week, and I think it's frustrating some senior coaches.
Okay, that's definitely one to watch there. Speaking of coaches, have you got any more info on the Collingwood job?
Yeah, it looks at this stage, my mail this morning is that some of the experienced senior coaches don't want to go for the Collingwood job. I think that's obviously Clarkson at this stage, possibly Ross Lyon and possibly Don Pike. It brings very firmly, in my view, Brad Scott into the frame. I've got the strong impression that Brad Scott almost has a choice now between Collingwood, which he hasn't quite got over the line yet in terms of being offered, I don't think, but Collingwood and the AFL. So I think Brad Scott's a big contender for that job.
Ooh, okay, that's definitely one to watch there. Brad Scott, very in-demand man. On the subject of the Pies, Steel Sidebottom caught your eye over the weekend, Tommy.
Yeah, I spoke about Steel Sidebottom on Friday night. This is, in essence, a Collingwood salary cap story. Steel Sidebottom has a contract for 22, 23, and my understanding is 24. Now, I don't know whose favour that option is drafted in favour of, but it's always been reported by Collingwood, and online you can check for yourself, that Steele's got a contract until the end of 2022. He's actually got a longer contract than that. And the only reason I can think of that it's longer is that at some point I gather it's been smoothed out to smooth his money, which again is an insight into, I believe, Collingwood's salary cap situation. And on that, I spoke to the Collingwood football boss, El Supremo Graham Wright, pre-game on Friday night, and asked him whether Collingwood would be in a position to chase a free agent this year, and the latest on their salary cap.
I'm not quite sure where the fix the salary cap come from, but we've still got some issues around that, and they'll take a little bit of time to iron out, but we feel as though we're on the right track in that area. So I wouldn't have thought we'll be a high, a big player, I suppose, in relation to chasing free agents, no.
And just picking up, Rudy, from that Graham Wright interview, he thinks they'll be competitive from a finals point of view in a couple of years. They're not going to chase, or they're not in a position to chase any free agents just at the minute. He confirmed they're trying to recontract, and Scott Pendlebury wants another year next year. Now, that was pre-injury on Friday night, but I think that's all going along fairly well. I asked him whether they'd trade Sidebottom and Pendlebury with a view to securing some picks if there was a mutually agreeable arrangement that suited both those players. He said there'd been no chats in that regard yet. I also asked him about Robert Harvey and whether he was a contender for the job. He said they'll review that later in the season and sort of review it in terms of their performance and also where the process is at, which I think is a polite way of saying that he's not a contender, but that was his response. By the way, he also said that they're aiming for mid-September on the appointment of a senior coach, Collingwood, and that COVID has delayed the process.
So yet another one to watch there. Just before we go, Tommy, Chad Wingard.
I like Chad Wingard. He is an enthusiastic player. There were some scenes which you'll see on 7 News or Fox over the weekend where he was quite demonstrative towards his teammates. And that was always the knock on him at Port, that perhaps he wasn't doing the team thing. I'm sure he'll sort it out with Hawthorn today, but it wasn't a good look.
Okay, fair enough. Another one to keep an eye on there. Thanks for coming in, Tommy. Good to see you back in lockdown Melbourne.
It's good to be here, Rudy. I better go and chase a story.
All right, so yeah, we'll see you on Wednesday.
Thanks, mate.